Well, it was 112 years ago this week that the last armed conflict between the U.S. government and Native Americans took place, and it happened on Sugar Point on Leech Lake. And joining us this morning is local historian Cece McKegg. Cece has written a historical account of the Battle of Sugar Point, and she joins us from Federal Dam, which is interesting, Cece, because where you live, when they built that dam, that was one source of the grievances the pillager
That's correct.
Ojibways had, didn't they, against the federal government. Tell us about the Battle of Sugar Point.
Well, it actually happened October 5th, but October 6th, just 112 years ago today, was when the word first really got out about what was happening out at the battle. Because of the lack of good communication in those days, people didn't know what was going on. They knew there was a battle, but they didn't know how serious it was or how many soldiers had been killed or what was happening out at Sugar Point. There was a lot of panic in northern Minnesota.
And what were the grievances that the pillager Ojibwe brought to the table, or and that
It was
led to
mainly
this?
because of the logging, the way that the timber was being cut and they weren't being adequately reimbursed. There was a lot of fraud. There was money paid out for work that it was done two or three times and not done correctly by surveyors, and so there was a lot of grievances on the table. But logging, the timber industry was part of it. They hadn't been compensated for losses due to the dams going in. There were just a lot of problems going on, and another problem was the fact that the U.S. Marshals, who were mixed bloods, were being paid by the number of arrests they made. And what caused the immediate cause of this conflict was when they tried to arrest Buginagesic for not responding to a warrant. This was also one of the criticisms and problems of the time, and they were just fed up with being abused, misused, and
Harassed, defrauded.
refused, harassed, felt being that they were harassed. That's true.
Tell us, and when a person was arrested, or in Boganegashik's case, he was requested to testify at a trial. They ended up going to Duluth or Minneapolis, didn't they? They haul him
Or
off.
Detroit Lakes.
Okay.
Yes. They had
And
to travel a long ways, and then, try and make their way back home regardless of whatever season or conditions it was. And sometimes they would go to trial, and then they couldn't get enough witnesses, or the trial would sort of fall through. And he had been taken to Duluth previously, had come back and under harsh conditions and swore he would never go again. So these all came out of liquor cases where the marshal would attempt to arrest someone for providing liquor or having moonshine on the reservation. And then they would be taken to some distance to do the testifying and so on, receive a small amount of pay, but have a difficult time getting back to the reservation. And I think Buginagesic had just had it. He wasn't going again. He was an older man. He refused. And the marshal saw this as an affront to their authority, and they couldn't allow it. And so this accelerated. It was a small thing that just accelerated, and to the point that they called in the army to support the marshals to serve the warrants. And when they went out to serve the warrants, unfortunately, one of the young recruits, while stacking the rifle for lunch, the rifle dropped. He didn't have the safety on. And the first shot was fired, and from that, all of a sudden we had a battle.
And this is not a, I mean, people died in this battle, I
People
think.
died in this.
And many
Major
people.
Wilkinson died in that battle, and we have the little town of Wilkinson near between Walker and Cass Lake, which is named for him. Major Wilkinson died, and five other soldiers died, and one Indian policeman died. So in that conflict, there definitely were fatalities, and there were also people wounded.
And then when
Or, besides the seriousness of that was the panic that just followed, because all your little towns like Deer River and Grand Rapids and Bemidji, they were imagining this was going to be something like a full-blown conflict throughout all of northern Minnesota. So people's imaginations just flared, and on both sides there was posturing as to what was going to happen here.
And I was it was interesting to see in the aftermath, I think I read in your from your research that that the federal government, I think from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, ended up agreeing that the Ojibwe had legitimate grievances, which I was a little surprised to see that the government acknowledged. I don't know if they acknowledged the fraud on from the timber companies, but they at least acknowledged that the grievances, many of the grievances were legitimate, and they chastised local enforcement people.
That's true, some government officials at least. And out of this came the creation of the Chippewa National Forest. That's a direct aftermath of the battle, because it brought to light what was happening with our timber up here, and we had people who then took notice and decided some of this timber had to be saved, and the creation of the Chippewa National Forest is a direct outcome of that.
Now, Cece, you wrote your account of the Battle of Sugar Point, which I might add is used in some classrooms now in Minnesota schools.
Yes, it is.
And for the 100th anniversary of this in 1998, and you say you're working on an updated version. How come?
Well, we found some new information since this little booklet was done. That was a little 68-page booklet in 1998. Since then, I've been to the National Archives in Washington, D.C., and I spent a week at a summer institute in Chicago at the Great Lakes Regional Center, and also down at St. John's Abbey. There's some excellent information about the missionary who was involved in the negotiations after the battle. So we've gotten some good information since this booklet was written, and I think it needs to be included. So we're doing a revision. I think the book's probably going to turn out to be twice the size that it was. We also got some good information from a couple of students and a teacher from Bagginigishik who went to Chicago this summer and brought back additional data. So there is data out there that we weren't aware of or didn't have access to. And I think the new version's going to be a lot more interesting. It's going to add a lot of different perspective to it.
All right, Cece, thanks for bringing us up to date on the Battle of Sugar Point.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.